Well, welcome to another edition of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. I'm Howard.
I'm Cole.
I'm Jennifer.
And obviously Marshall is not here. Otherwise,
he was raptured last week.
He was, oh, raptured.
Yes.
Hey, I'm so surprised.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
I'm sure he was. Damnest part, he left his dog.
Well, Cole, I'm glad you said that he was raptured because this ties in perfectly with our first story.
Good. See, I knew that because I'm psychotic. I mean, psychic.
Oh, jeez. 60-foot Jesus statue burns to the ground in Ohio.
Yes.
Did we or did we not talk about this last time?
No, because it didn't happen before. Nope. It happened a few weeks ago.
It happened like a week. A week and a half ago.
Like,
yeah. I guess we were talking about this in one of the groups.
So let me read this here.
Okay.
A 60-foot statue of Jesus with his arms raised along a motorway was struck by lightning and a thunderstorm and burned to the ground. The King of Kings statue, one of Ohio's most popular or familiar landmarks, I should probably say, also referred to as the Touchdown Jesus, because he's going.
Yes,
you can't see this
touchdown.
Right now, but I'm making
the Touchdown,
Touchdown Jesus.
Like the big Y.
Had stood since 2004 at the Evangelical Solid Rock Church along Interstate 75. Pardon me, I had to take a drink of whiskey. 60-foot tall, 40-foot wide sculpture showed Jesus from the torso up, and it was nicknamed Touchdown Jesus because of the way of his arms was raised, blah, 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 blah. It was made out of plastic foam and fiberglass. Let's review, kids. Petroleum products, flammable. Okay. And it was struck by lightning, and pretty much that's over.
They didn't have lightning rods or anything like that on it for any reason.
I don't think anybody puts lightning rods on anything nowadays.
I think they do on a lot of things, they but they probably just didn't think to put it on Touchdown Jesus.
They figured he was safe.
Yeah, exactly.
they still do them on metal roofs and different things. We sell them at work, yeah. You can order them. They got really fancy ones.
I just never see them like on
you
houses.
You couldn't see Jesus
anymore.
Holding two lightning rods?
I see.
That'd actually be kind of awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be.
Why would he have to hold a lightning rod when he's God?
It's alive!
Put one on his forehead.
Right, yeah.
Is that a unicorn, Daddy?
All I gotta say is, I mean, it's great when a story comes out like this, and you don't even have to make a joke about it because
it was $250,000 bill they said to rebuild. It's $300,000, and insurance is going to cover it because it's an act of God.
All right, so being agnostics, atheists, et cetera, right. Free thinkers, what sort of statue would we make? That was 60 feet tall, 40 feet wide.
A big finger.
I always like that.
The
one.
Middle finger. And
yeah.
The bird.
I just think that's funny, but I don't think we could decorate it.
Like Festivus, you could decorate it during the festive season.
You could put a big wreath around the finger during Christmas.
I can think of a few other things to put on it. Like a 30-foot condom.
Yeah.
I just figured it'd be a big statue of a naked lady.
Now, that I could go for.
Religions are always so prudish and most religions are kind of against women's rights and against sexuality, especially when it comes to women's sexuality. So why not? Celebration of female sexuality.
I obviously have no problem with this.
Except we would make it out of something that wouldn't burn to the ground if struck by lightning.
Metal?
Yeah.
Where would
you put the lightning rod?
You actually beat me to that.
I apologize ahead of time, everyone. With Marshall not here, it's just going to be this way.
I just figure, if Jesus is really real, I mean, if you actually saw that statue, it was pretty freaking hideous. It was pretty nasty looking.
It was pretty awful.
You mean afterwards? Yeah.
No. Before. Like, I'm looking at the statue going, wow, that's what $250,000 gets you?
Yeah.
Because I was like looking at it going, wow, that's bad.
It gets you a fiberglass monstrosity is what it gives you.
Yeah, because it was really a pretty hideous statue. I would be kind of like,
man.
Well, a metal one or something out of some other material would have been so costly.
There you go.
Oh, I'm not just talking about the cost of it as far as like the actual materials. I'm talking about the actual artistry of it.
Cole is currently looking at this picture.
So is he
It's kind of grotesque.
Probably in water?
Well, it looks like there's a, there's it a looks like there's a big lake or pond in front of it.
I mean, is his feet on top of the lake?
No.
No, it's just his torso.
No, like, yeah. This is 60 feet tall.
Oh, so it's just his torso. Torso.
Now,
so
what's really awkward about this picture, just so everybody, if you haven't seen it, go look at it, because there's a cross in front of the Jesus. But the cross is, like, small. Like, he could put his foot on the cross, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So whoever made this little thing just really forgot to do it to any sort of sense of scale here.
Yeah, abstract Jesus.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And actually, there are some pretty hilarious, if you like search for images, there are some people doing the YMCA thing with Jesus. That's pretty, yeah.
But yeah.
So it's the village people and Jesus.
It's, you know, I'm curious. Okay, so naked woman.
How about nipple piercings for not lightning rods, you know.
Right. Oh, hey, that's nice.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
It's got to be at the highest point, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So she'd have to be, like, leaning back, and her breasts would have to be...
Or she could have stiletto heels up in the air.
No, that I would...
Okay, well, see, but that's different. That's like touchdown Jesus, just the other direction.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, that, you know, bottoms up.
Hey,
you guys are terrible.
Nice. That's not nice. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. We're glad it burned to the ground. It was hideous.
But it's going to be rebuilt.
I'm just wishing they would actually take that money and do something, I don't know, positive with it. Like,
hey, I had a buddy Iggy. He called and talked to the lady that was in charge of the insurance from this.
Mm-hmm.
And asked him.
Buddy Jesus.
Buddy Jesus. I think that's a different Jesus.
Well, it's the same thing.
But equally as funny. Yeah,
yes, yeah. Yes.
And so he asked him if it really did any good. And the reason why they got so much recognition was a guy was going to commit suicide, and he was driving by, and he changed his mind when he saw the statue.
Mm. Mm.
So that's how it got its first boost into the media.
And that man said on that day, I have to burn that statue to the ground.
Maybe.
No.
I'd really like to know.
He gave
him
a reason to live, and I can understand that.
People never follow up on this stuff. Did he not ever commit suicide? I mean, is he still alive now? I mean, this was like, when was it, 2004?
Oh, he probably is. He probably is, you know. And that's
cool.
Fine. That's
cool.
Yeah,
I'm glad he's alive. Yes, I'm glad he's alive.
I have no problem with that. I just have a problem with spending all that money on something that... Okay, it helped one person that we know of.
Yeah, but I mean, one person's life is worth $240,000.
Sure. 50,
I'd go.
I guess. I'm just thinking, how many other lives can you save with that money?
I'd go with that. Yeah, no,
that's the way I'm looking at it. As I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying...
Definitely not a very equitable use of your money, I would say.
But, oh, well, we put a billboard up, so... We could have spent that money on something else, too.
That's true, but I think the billboard is an example of an equitable exchange.
Right.
You know, like, we spent $1,200, I think, on the billboard.
Yeah, no, almost $4,000.
We wouldn't have known about the group without the billboard.
Exactly.
So, right. I mean,
and there's a lot more
know.
People like you guys that,
right.
that came in on it, too.
So, like,
We still get people. We still, to this day, we still get people that go, oh, yeah, that's the reason why we joined the group and never came, but that's why we're coming now.
Right, but like you said, that's a better use of money than...
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you know, even if it was $4,000, I still think that's not ridiculous.
No,
now,
no.
If I would have came to the group...
It was a very good deal.
I came to the group and you guys were like, yeah, we spent $100,000 on that. I would be like, oh, God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You got ripped.
Well, actually, that board for that location, for 90,000 people seeing it a day, would have been about double that.
Hmm.
Now they go a lot more than $5,000-$6,000 a month.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't doubt. Yeah.
But that's more people, you know, that would see it, better location. But that particular one got a fair amount, and we got a good deal. So,
well,
Sister Jennifer,
Sister Mary, Mother, Protect Your Genitals has the billboard now. So
yes,
whoever that is, some church group that tells you not to have sex or something.
Oh yay,
So
don't do that.
You know. I guess they're making some sort of statement.
Yeah.
It's lost on me.
Me too.
Anyway, so. So, Jennifer, you had a float trip recently?
Yes. So, we do.
Except for Cole.
We do. Yeah. They just don't make fun of drunk women on Knoll, Missouri for a float trip on the Elk River this past
weekend.
Converged.
That's a good word. That's a good word.
And a fun time was had by all. It was a good time. Yeah, we've all resolved. We have to do it again. We're hoping it gets bigger and bigger. We'll try to make more announcements about things when we decide when we're going to do it next year.
So did you actually float Sunday too?
No, we just floated Saturday. We started out at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and let's see, our group on our raft and canoe got back at 5 o'clock. We thought we were behind everybody else. The other raft did not pull in until 7 p.m.
Wait a minute. Now, you two, all the canoes and the rafts were all on the same river, right?
Right.
And this river isn't exceedingly large.
No. It's just...
And you thought you were first? You didn't know you were...
We thought we were behind them. We thought we were running late. We thought they had gotten back like an hour before us.
Well, how'd that happen when you all left from the same camp?
Yeah.
Because we just kind of... If you've ever been on a float...
How drunk were you?
I have been.
I was pretty trashed. Okay. I was.
What, Saturday morning? Yeah.
No, Saturday afternoon. For the last 2 hours of the float, I was in the front of the boat. I wasn't completely out.
Okay.
So it is possible you might
somewhere along there, maybe you passed them.
Right.
They passed you.
Well, oh, we definitely passed them along some point.
Oh, maybe they were off in the woods somewhere.
They were probably not even off in the woods. They probably had just parked on a beach someplace and hung out for like a couple hours, and then we missed them.
I see. Okay.
So when we got back, we were like, oh, we thought we were ahead of them. And
so were you guys doing any drugs too?
Not me.
No.
I like this has suddenly turned into Jennifer confession time.
And there's no pictures of Jennifer Jones.
No, I was really actually surprised that nobody decided to grab the camera and take a picture of me in the front of the boat, but nobody did. They just kept poking me with water and telling me to drink this and then putting more sun lotion.
That's not what they told me.
That's the proof right there. I mean, we're just better people. We don't make fun of drunk people.
The men maybe get a little bit more, but I think even the guys on the group that were drunk really didn't get poked too much fun at.
It's amazing. I think my favorite comment from anybody I've ever heard was a friend of mine that was drunk, and he got really, really drunk, and he was feeling really sick. And I remember he was on the floor, like hands and knees, and somebody walked up and kind of tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, buddy, you know, how you doing? How you feeling?" And he said, "I need water and a towel."
I haven't been going there. Have you seen Hangover, the movie?
Yeah.
I've had some evenings like that, but we never had a tiger involved. Maybe a few chickens, a baby every once in a while.
Did you steal a cop car?
No, didn't steal a cop car neither, no.
Your name is Cole, is that right?
Although we had done some damage to a cop car one night.
Oh.
It was kind of fun watching that movie because it just brought back memories because you couldn't think it. You didn't know what happened.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it was I'm in there.
I haven't seen that one yet. I need to watch it.
It was not what I expected, but better.
You've seen all the funniest parts. Nothing. That was an aside. I was thinking out loud.
Okay. Oh, my parents loved it. That's what they went and saw on their anniversary.
Oh, is that right?
That's funny.
That's funny.
Well... Come on, did somebody else have something? I looked up something.
Oh, well, there was did you all hear about that Louisiana's legislative body decided to, like, officially say that they needed to pray for the oil slick?
Oh, I did hear something about that.
That they needed to officially pray to God to help stop the oil spill.
I'm sure that'll work.
Which my thoughts were, well, you know, if God is so great, why did it happen to begin with?
Right. That's the whole kicker, you know. But I'll tell you what, if you do keep praying long enough, it probably will stop.
Oh, yeah, eventually.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Yeah, yeah.
On Wednesday, Louisiana State Senator Robert Adley won unanimous approval of the resolution, which invites people of all faiths from within the state and around the U.S. to focus on divine intervention to find a solution to the crisis of the oil Gulf spill.
At least they're generous. At least they're including everybody and not just.
You know, I would have to say that if somebody stood up and said, "Well, I just want to pray about it," I'd be like, "Eh, what the hell?
Yeah,
nothing else is working."
Well, I guess that's my thing.
Can't make it worse.
Yeah, true. I guess my thing is like the Louisiana state government doesn't have any other problems to worry about than the oil spill.
No, they don't.
And it might actually be like, at least you fuckers are praying about it rather than trying to solve the problem. You've been doing such a brilliant job.
Right.
You know, like, at least...
Like your city, one of your major cities is underwater.
I mean, you know, it's at least you know they're not causing any more problems.
This is true. I suppose there is that silver lining to that cloud. Right, yes.
That's a good one.
I just want to let you all know that I have full confidence in the Louisiana State Legislature.
Yeah.
That they will, they'll do something. We had our recent general deposed for Afghanistan. I think that's interesting.
Yep.
I think that gets kind of political, though.
Yep.
Really political.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What is that, Cole?
I just agree.
Cole's not big into politics. He doesn't like the politics.
Politics suck.
I don't disagree.
Unless you have some solution for it, I just don't want to talk about it because it's just so corrupt and it's so weird.
Well, no, I think I find it interesting that they took him out.
As far as we
know. I'm not terribly surprised, though. I mean, you make comments like that, and what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that I thought it was the right decision to make. I'm just saying, you know, there's actually laws that say you're not supposed to criticize your commander-in-chief, which is the President of the United States, and anybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could actually be court-martialed. I don't think he will, because I don't think they said he directly criticized the president himself. He just made disparaging comments about Congress and basically how he has to fight the politicians, which is probably true.
I don't know. I think I actually disagree with that. I actually think there are two different ways that he should be seen as a person, and within his job, and then within him as a person making comments as a citizen of the United States.
He doesn't have that right, though, as a military personnel.
I think he still should, though.
But that's not
especially as a general. I mean, if anybody should be able to express their opinion, I'd want it to be that guy.
True.
I mean, I can understand, you know, the Marine on the ground. You know, what do you think about this situation, buddy? I mean, like,
man on the street.
Yeah, I don't freaking care. Clean the latrine again.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, but I mean, at that point, I guess what I would say, and I don't know the entire situation, but if a general at that level had disagreements with what was being done, he didn't like the way it was going. If you follow the idea that he can't speak out against it, the only recourse that he has is to go to some public medium because nobody will listen to him within his chain of command.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is he's supposed to go to his chain of command, not to the public. I think that's what the deal is. It's supposed to go the other way around. He's supposed to go through the chain of command and say, and it sounds like the Rolling Stone thing was him venting frustration at having to deal with the politics of the situation.
I'm pretty sure that he probably did vent this frustration.
He probably did.
Did he
just
apologize?
It just was not regarded as important or
right.
Did he apologize?
Oh yeah, but I mean everybody always apologizes.
Well, sure they do, and they always get a picture of him like in the Star today. He's always they're looking down.
Like,
I never get anyone looking straight.
I guess I should.
Like, right. I'm not ashamed about what I did or said. No, I'm ashamed.
You know? I guess.
I mean, he could have been looking at the steps going up. You know,
yeah, okay, right, right. I mean, it's always a picture because they took 400 pictures in less than 20
that's
seconds.
The one.
Right?
Exactly.
Shamefully,
yeah, yeah,
he walked up the stairs.
I think what I read was he expressed regret at the remarks made.
You.
You know, those sorts of things.
I was
wish you would have said
think
more.
He was really sorry about the comments that he made.
Yeah.
He may have regretted making them.
Or regret not saying enough.
True. But I don't think he was actually sorry about anything he said. And I don't necessarily blame him.
So what do you think he'll do now?
I think he's going to continue being a general.
Oh, is he? Okay. So
they don't can you for that kind of stuff.
They don't.
No. His career is just going to probably be limited.
Yeah, he probably won't advance any further if he can advance
further. He was a four-star.
Well, I was going to say he's not going to. Yeah, I was going to say. I don't think that. That's why I said I don't think he can advance any further. But he'll just be given.
They don't have a five-star.
No, they do.
Okay. Yeah, they do have a five-star. Yeah. So yeah,
oh,
but still, I'm just saying he won't advance.
Can't
he won't,
make that one.
Won't make that one. Yeah.
It's like my one regret in life is I never was a five-star.
Timmy,
general.
This is what happened to great grandpa. He didn't get that fifth star because he pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe that gets really political, like we're saying. But
yeah, it does.
Well, didn't it take like Obama like so long to even sit down and talk to him the first time about the whole situation in Afghanistan to begin with? So I mean, I could see that he's frustrated because he feels brushed aside, maybe almost.
Yeah.
Do you think Obama was offended?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't really.
Really? He doesn't seem like the offended type.
Doesn't it seem like people.
He seems like he gets pissed off pretty easily.
Well, he gets pissed off, sure. Pissed off is one
doesn't
thing.
Doesn't it seem like
but
people at that level have to be like somebody has, one of their aides has to let them know when they need to be upset about something.
Yeah.
You should be offended, President.
Right. So there's, because they're so busy with like a myriad of so many other things in their life.
Right. How should I react to this?
Right. Like, some aide walks up, shows him the news press, and he's like, how do I feel about this today?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, slick, take a pill. Yeah.
You know, and actually, I wouldn't fault any president for that. That's a job that you couldn't pay me enough to take that job. They'd be like, Come, Jennifer, be present. No. Go away.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, I'd love it. I would definitely take president.
No,
I don't like politics, but I would like to be president.
No. See, I would take the job if they said if you can be dictator or supreme ruler, then I would be okay with it. Because
well,
then
be
everybody would
dictator.
Have to listen to me and...
Who says I'm not already that? I am a supreme ruler. You just all
well,
have
this is
my own
true.
World.
Well, this is true. I mean, I just don't own my island yet. That's all. I don't need much. I just need a small island to rule over.
Well, that's what I want. I want to be old King Cole.
Well, keeping with the theme of this show, we're going to look up Kentucky and just see what's happening this week.
Okay, in Kentucky. Why Kentucky?
Because there's always something happening.
Oh, okay. Because there's always something really awful in Kentucky. And
Kentucky. Where did that... Word. I know where most of the states come from. I can't remember where.
Well, Kentucky comes from, the south.
Kind of east.
Since
from here.
Southeast?
Yeah, a little bit.
Jim Bunning. Has anybody heard of this guy?
No. Oh, no.
He refers to President Barack Obama as your president.
Your president?
Your president. Kentucky. Oh, how you amuse me. I live in Kansas, y'all, so just it's okay. It's worse here.
I was gonna say, at least Kansas doesn't have a creationist museum.
No, and we do have Johnson
That's
County.
That's a good thing.
I was going to say, does that really make things better?
Well, economically, maybe.
That's our biggest groups.
Well, yeah, but most of us don't live in Johnson County.
That's true. I've noticed that.
Angry white guys.
But a lot of people do come
I mean,
here.
I am one, but angry white guys.
Live in Johnson County or don't live in Johnson? Do.
Johnson County.
Okay, angry white guys.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. Are you angry?
I'm not angry.
Cole, you look angry.
No, I'm not. I'm very, very
I don't think either one of us are very angry right
now. I don't think either one of us are very angry anyway.
Drinking whiskey.
Right.
Good time. Ruining Marshall's show.
yeah. Marshall, come back. You're all fired. Don't ever come back.
Yeah.
Well, I have
a feeling that this isn't going to make it on, but it's all right. We'll see what happens.
Well, I have some related news, like that. This is definitely like far down the road, but I keep wanting to like remind people that it's going to happen, which is the exciting announcement that James Randi is going to be joining the lineup of Skepticon 3. Pretty cool, considering that TAM costs like $400 to get into. I looked that up.
400?
Yeah, to the convention, the fees alone to get into the convention. Because I looked up because Dawkins is going to be there this year. It's like $450 just to get into the convention.
Wow.
I was just like, ouch.
This would be great.
It's like, can I pretend I'm a student? The student rates are like $200. I was floored that it cost that much. I was thinking at the most like, you know, $80-$100, but nope.
I guess that makes sense, but I mean, that's not including your hotel or anything.
No. I mean, you're looking at a trip that probably is going to cost you $2,000 to $3,000 if you go by yourself and you don't have anybody to split room with or anything, but still, that's...
I don't understand. I don't understand how can it cost that much. I guess I'm not an author.
I was going to say, I mean, with all the people that they get, I mean, you know, Dawkins, Adam Savage is usually there. I mean, there's lots of celebrity/, you know, Penn and Teller. Yeah. Skepticon, as far as I know, is there's no fee to get in. I don't know if they will change that. If they do, it won't hurt my feelings because they put on a good program last year. So
yeah, and it was free. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think you when you're starting out something like that. I think you can try to do that, but I don't. If you're going to try to grow it at all, you're not going to be able to sustain
right.
a free convention like that. I just don't see it.
And Sam Singleton
yeah,
will
Sam
be there
Singleton,
too.
Yeah.
He's going to be in town. Of course, it won't really matter by the time this gets out if the show gets on the air. Sam Singleton will have already been here and left. But he's coming through town. He'll be fun. I've been talking to him over the phone. He was like, him and I both have been drinking last night.
Oh,
a big surprise. You know, at 10 o'clock at night, we're both talking. And we both admit to each other we had been drinking. It's like, do I sound like I've been drinking? No. Well, do I sound like I've been drinking? Oh, I get it. That's why we don't think that each one of us sound like we're drinking, because we're both drinking. And so we had a good time talking about what we were going to do and not going to do when he came into town.
The frog in the right, pan of water.
Right.
You heat him up slowly,
right,
and he doesn't notice. Well, I guess here's a bit of news for everybody.
Oh, good.
Whooping cough declared epidemic in California.
Ooh.
Apparently, do they have whooping cranes there?
Whooping
cough. Oh, go ahead.
Whooping cough. Apparently, you have to get regularly vaccinated for whooping cough. I didn't know that.
I didn't know you had to get regularly vaccinated. I knew they vaccinated
people. So it's just so rare anymore, more people don't, is what you're saying.
Well, it was almost eradicated.
Right, in the United States, it was.
Right.
That's probably a product of illegal immigration, because
polio,
they don't get hooked
isn't
up.
That, I mean, they don't vaccinate for polio anymore either.
Maybe not necessarily illegal.
Well,
you know.
I read some information a while ago that was talking about the states that bordered Mexico specifically, the 11 counties that border Mexico. They have the highest rates of tuberculosis and other communicable diseases like that. And, you know, one thing is I don't know, and I don't know what they do. I don't know if you're trying to come across the border legally, if they check you out. I mean, I'm sure they don't have doctors there.
They don't care if you're
illegal,
do you have any diseases?
Yeah. But they were talking about – so, yeah, that's true. That may not be connected to illegal immigration specifically, just immigration from Mexico, where they don't vaccinate and things like that. So
I think one of the odd things about this is, like, I guess this kind of goes to, like, the anti-vaccination stuff. That's why I picked it. To bring it up.
Right.
That's because, I mean, they're basically suggesting that, you know, anybody in a household with a, you know, a one-year-old or a very young child needs to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
The child needs to get vaccinated, and et cetera, et cetera, to stop the spread of this. I guess I find it interesting that, you know, such a thing could be a problem, be a significant problem. I guess they have reported cases of it every single year in California.
Every year?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I've heard about it around here.
Like 1,800 or something like that?
Around 3,000 to 4,000.
Yeah, and actually I've...
But it's been on the rise in the last couple of years.
And I heard about cases breaking out in, like, Kansas and stuff like that,
oh, really?
Too. But I don't know if that's... That could be directly related to the whole anti-vax, you know,
well, that's
parents
what I,
that don't...
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because, I mean, typically children catch it and
yes,
pass
usually,
it on
yes.
to adults.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the pattern I've always...
And infants can't really – it's really bad for babies. I mean, most diseases are really bad for babies, but that one, you know, too, is just really –
Yeah. So go get vaccinated for whooping cough. This is an official panic button. Go.
Yeah, and I don't know about polio. I think they actually have had seen some resurgence of polio, but I don't know if it's here in the United States.
Yeah,
I know that there's some in other countries, but I don't know if that's because people are refusing to get vaccinated, or they just don't get vaccinated because they don't have access to it.
Or just don't think about it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see that happen, you know.
Don't see what happening.
Sorry. Reading something here.
Oh, what is it?
I just realized I said that out loud.
Okay. Oh, I got you. On drugs again, are you hired?
No.
So what were you reading?
I was reading Palin Fund Illegal. Donors will get money back. And you said something and I said that out loud. Apparently, she was getting a legal defense and people gave $390,000 for her legal defense.
Yep, I've heard that.
Contributed.
And then she left.
$390,000.
That's a lot. Do you have $390,000?
I don't have $390,000.
I don't
mm-hmm.
Me neither.
I
doubt very seriously we could raise $390,000.
No, I'm pretty sure we couldn't. I'm pretty sure we couldn't raise $100,000.
Probably not.
Pretty sure we
maybe
probably.
Not even $1,000.
Yeah.
I where does that sort of money come from? You live in Alaska, for
thanks.
God's sake.
Well, it's probably not all Alaskans contributing to that fund either.
No, I'm
it's
sure.
It's probably people from all over.
It's amazing.
Because I love my mom and dad, but they think she's great.
Really?
Why do they think she's great?
Because they're conservative and they think she's awesome.
My parents think she's great too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
they think she's a very smart lady. And I'm like, you know, I'm not necessarily going to say she's dumb, but I just don't agree with her worldview at all.
No. Well, she's not dumb by any means. I mean, look at the money she's making.
That doesn't mean she's smart. There's lots of stupid people that make money.
It is. I mean, what do you define stupid and smart? But
she, you know,
is she right for any political?
Oh hell no! I don't think so. I don't think she's got what
position,
it takes to really
nothing.
Run.
I mean, I can't imagine her dog catcher.
I'd hire her. As a
she's
dog
against.
Catcher.
She's against.
Good,
I mean,
that's good bet.
Look at all that research on fruit flies. I mean, it's just horrible.
She looks good at in a workout outfit.
I'll tell you what, I don't. Think
I'm
so.
I
know. It's like I don't even like looking at her. And you know, it's really funny is almost every photo in the Kansas City Star of her, she's got her mouth wide open. It even makes her look more dumb. I think they do that on purpose.
I would say that that's entirely possible. You heard it here first.
Do
having your mouth open makes you look dumber.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It does her. She'll catch
crap. That means half my photographs I look really stupid.
She's gonna catch. She's gonna catch too many fruit flies in her mouth. You know about those wasted money spent on those fruit flies?
Oh man. Oh God.
What
should I even? Should I even read this one?
Yeah,
of course.
This is great. It's loading. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. This is an awful show.
This is a good show. This was a lot of fun.
No, it's...
That's my deal. I'm losing my confidence.
And you had some before the show started?
I always have confidence.
Oh, okay.
Until you crush it, Cole.
No, you're so sweet.
All right. Anyway. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is going to be hard.
I hope not.
Female condom with a new design, lining up with teeth-like hooks and a way to harm rapist is invented by a South African physician. Dr. Sonnet Ehlers, who sold off her home and car to make the condom known as Rape Axe in 2005, is reaching out at the FIFA World Cup venues. And after the trial,
nice.
The condoms will be sold out by $2. I don't really understand that.
How the hell does that work?
Yeah.
Do you wear that all the time?
I'm about to explain. Here's a little blurb about how it... Oh, God. I mean, here it is, people. Rape is wrong, okay? I'm fine with that. It should be wrong. It's really bad. But this is a paragraph talking about how it works on a man's junk. It's a little tough. The latest condom can be inserted like a tampon and has jagged rows of hooks on the inside, and it works by touching to a man's penis during penetration, and once attached, it can only be removed by a doctor.
That's actually pretty freaking awesome.
This will be a great solution to catch the culprit.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking you're out with your girlfriend, you know? Maybe she's got one of these in, right? Because, you know, you're going to be out in the town, maybe in some areas of town that
you
aren't
had a little bit
aren't
too much to
nice.
Drink, and you forget that it's there.
And she forgets it in her vagina.
Damn!
That's not good, Cole.
No, it's not good.
That's not good. You know what he wants to visit the doctor. That's not a good visit.
No, I agree.
Somebody's IMing me from work.
And if they could, and if they did try to work themselves out, wouldn't that just piss them off?
What's that? Well, and that is actually, you know, that sounds great, but yeah, I mean, something like that happens, and actually, like, could backfire,
right.
And the woman could actually end up being
beaten or something because of the pain.
Yeah.
And of course,
because usually rape is about well,
you have, to think about the shrinkage.
This is a quote from the doctor. It hurts. He cannot pee and walk when it's on. If he tries to remove it, it will clasp even tighter. However, it doesn't break the skin, and there's no danger of fluid exposure.
How would that even work? That's bizarre, huh?
I don't know. I consulted engineers, gynecologists, and psychologists to help in the design and make sure it was safe.
So it does come out of the woman?
Rape act.
Just attaches
of all
to the
names.
Man.
Yeah, it attaches to the guy when it, yeah, mm-hmm.
And
when
it
he
comes
penetrates.
Out of the woman.
Yeah. Of course, so, you know, the other thing that this is awful, you know, the other thing that this could also spur is people anally raping women instead of raping
ooh,
them.
Oh,
I'm
oh,
just yeah. saying.
No, Jenna,
you know,
you gotta
it's
point.
Actually, you yeah. know, not maybe
right.
not such a good thing.
Right. Well, but at least there's not pregnancies that way.
There generally is.
Don't do this to me.
I need another
this
drink.
This is not right. Good God, I need another drink.
Yeah.
Well, I think actually, you know.
Jen, help us out. Talk about something.
Well, I think statistically, pregnancy from rape is actually pretty rare because, because women aren't aroused, and sometimes arousal actually does play a role in actually getting you pregnant. So I mean that's part of it. Part of it is, yeah. And the other issue is like, you know, there's also these lovely things called the morning after pill and things like that.
Oh yeah, there's
take.
A new one. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, the one you can take up to 5 days
yes,
after. Yeah.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. And safer.
Yes,
it's got less side effects.
I always thought that.
I mean, it's a better pill all the way around.
Yeah. I thought the first iteration of that pill, horribly macabre person for saying this, but. The I don't know if you remember it, but it was called RU486.
Yeah.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
I always thought that was I always thought that was a very dark person's sense of humor.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
RU486.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, yep. I get it.
anyway, so the Rapebox, Rapex, whatever you want to say, condom, however, faces criticism. Kind of like you said, people feel that women will come under further violence.
Yeah,
during the attack, something like that happened.
I mean, the pain.
Further
that
violence,
sense.
Yeah, or like I said, they will be abused in other fashions that are worse, quite frankly.
Right.
Even nice non-rape kind of guys, they get a little upset when people stick things in their penis.
Yeah.
Never had anything stuck in mine, so I wouldn't know, Howard.
Hey. I feel like I should say something, but
yeah, don't.
The only thing, if I say anything, it'll just make it worse.
Good.
So we just need to move on. I don't like you, Cole. You're a bad man. Let's try to find something enjoyable.
A little more lighthearted, yeah.
The last study I saw. Congregations in the United States have shrank from, I think in the last 10 years, from 366,000 congregations to about maybe as low as 300.
300 congregations total?
300,000.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
300,000. And some say that it's 300,000 to 330,000 now. But even at the highest, that's still about 30,000 congregations shut down or could be. A lot of it could have been during this bad economic 2 years.
I was going to say, I mean, because some of that you could possibly say is, you know, small towns.
Most
where
of
people
it is.
Are, yeah,
yep.
Pulling up and moving
right.
out. And,
but all know. In all, even still the number, I mean, over the last century, Christianity has only shrank, according to most studies, 1%.
Right.
That's not much.
I would say that's still a significant number.
Yeah, it's still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shrank.
Large,
that's worldwide.
Right.
Of course, in Africa, it's grown, and in parts of South America, it has grown.
Mm-hmm.
And so the percentage is high. So I don't know whether the shrinkage in the United States is more than 1% or not.
There's actually a really good documentary about Uganda and the recent laws on homosexuality. That they try to get passed in Uganda. That's a really good documentary. It's a regular program, actually. It's like 45 minutes. I can't remember the name of it. I imagine if you searched on Hulu for Uganda and like homosexuality or something like that, it would come up. But it was really good because it kind of outlined a bunch of the effort that they had made. Hmm. And just the complete misconceptions, you know, that gay people are suddenly going to try to take over everything in the country and try to make people gay or something like that. It was a very interesting documentary.
So they think it's a conspiracy that gay people want to take over the whole world?
Yeah, yeah. And even further than
if they do that and stop having children, how beneficial is that?
don't use your logic on me.
Okay.
I don't think there's any forward-thinking like that. Okay, it's not, what are we going to do after we make it illegal? Right, okay. There's no thought like that. But the law was very severe. I mean, it included jail time, up to life imprisonment, and even execution.
Oh, my gosh.
It was not passed. I think there's still factions trying to get it passed and stuff like that. But, you know, that was the severity. And I think the interesting part of it was the Ugandan people, and I can't really blame them for this, were sort of loath to have this involvement from other nations telling them what they should do. Mm. And I think that actually exacerbated the situation rather than, like, help. Like, by, like, nations like the United States or other nations saying, you shouldn't do these things, actually made it worse because they feel like we're a sovereign nation, we should be able to do whatever the hell we want.
Right.
And so I thought it was interesting from the documentary's perspective because I was like, you're backing them into a corner.
Right.
And that's not really helping, you know?
Yeah, I actually saw something. I read, it was a story, a little while ago, about two men that were convicted. And I don't remember what country they were. It was an African nation that they were convicted of being gay, basically, and were going to be jailed. And they were freed, but that was actually said, too. There was a lot of pressure from the United States and other countries to this nation saying, you should free these guys. And, like, somebody actually came out, you know, they'd say, well, this is our culture. You're stomping on our culture. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like I don't know. You know, I get between caught between the rock and the hard spot because I do agree that, you know, if they're a sovereign nation, they have the right to decide their own laws and how they're going to run things. But at the same time, I'm like, at what point, you know, we have human rights laws, and at what point do those take over? And do we go in and say, yeah, you can't jail these people just because what they like to do behind closed doors, you know?
And I might say that I agree with that, you know, something has to be done in these situations. The problem is, and I'm going to say something that's going to sound really, I don't know, one world government, like that kind of stuff.
No, but
sure.
There's no overseer. There's no neutral governing body to decide in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can say the United Nations, but the United Nations never takes any true action in these situations. And that's truly what's missing, because I do agree that, like, somebody should step in and be a mediator in these sorts of situations, but that can't be another country.
No.
I agree.
It has to be an independent body
of
some sort that can address the issue, and that currently doesn't really exist.
Right. I.
Well, that brings up another issue with it, like, a lot with these they've been finding more and more over the last few decades, tribes that are still fire catchers, and international laws prohibits any interaction with these people. Now, what do they mean by that? International laws.
What do you mean by fire catchers? That sounds like they're carnies.
They still can't start a fire. They're that primitive. There is a person in their tribe that takes care of the fire, has a fire going at all times. They catch it from lightning, whatever starts. They do not know how to start a fire. There are still tribes like that. And internationally, that's what I have read several times. What does that mean? International laws prohibit any time of interaction with these people.
Personally, that doesn't make sense. I'm not a fan of, you know, the Federation's, you know, Starfleet rules or anything.
Exactly.
But this has been in the news.
I know, but if you see a bunch of people splash around in a mud puddle and they don't have anything to eat, I'm like,
give them some.
You know, dry them off and give them something to eat.
Right, I mean, right. But some of these tribes, if we interact with them, I mean, our disease and different stuff, I mean, you know, we can't.
Yeah, that's true.
But recently, about 2 years ago, there was a boat in the Indonesian waters that was close to one of these tribes. They were fishing. And this was in the news. This tribe killed those fishermen. And the relatives of these fishermen wanted their bodies back. And the international whatever said, too bad. We're not going down. No one's going in. The boat's staying where it is. Nothing's happening.
Huh.
I'll look it up.
It's really odd.
Yeah, I've read this on several things, but it's like, because this is really a huge issue for me, but I won't go into it now. But having these tribes and not being able to interact with them and having children that will, that their destiny is to live 25, 26, 27 years old, and that's it, because they're that primitive. And they're, and some of these tribes are buffered between tribes that are becoming white man's friend and still friends with them, and they're communicating a little bit. And so some of these tribes are becoming more familiar with the outside world.
So it is a case. Is it a case that if they made fire, then it would be, then we would be able to talk to them?
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're going to send them some
matches. It's like in First Contact. They have to hit
the speed
of light.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
Everybody just send down Bic lighters.
No, I'm thinking like maybe you could like drop, maybe you could drop like pamphlets, you know, with like easy to read pictures.
Right.
Just icons. Yeah.
Yeah, little stick people like
God, you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it'll be living to be 35.
Yeah, after having a fire. Yeah, because you don't have to wait around until lightning strikes.
Right. Well, no. There was a fire. What would that be? The fire, that was his job. He took care of the fire.
Firekeeper.
And so if he lost the fire, then, they'd have to wait for another lightning storm, something to hit and catch fire again. Meanwhile, lots of people would starve to death or have to eat their meat raw and all that stuff. So who knows? Hmm.
Well, apparently that's more healthy for us.
Could be. But I'm not sure
according
what kind of meat would that be in that area. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
sure it's not good.
Probably not cattle.
It's not good. Don't eat your meat raw. Unless it's sushi. And be very careful.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I mean, what is the moral thing to do in that dilemma? I mean, is it to take the children and...
The moral thing is to let them alone.
Yeah.
I would say it is never moral to take... children.
I'm not saying that. Do you think that if you explained to these children when they were old enough to understand, would you like to be 25 when you die or 85? Would you like some of these things
You're assuming that a culture that can't figure out how to make fire knows what 25 and 85
means.
But
you're telling me that they don't have the brains to know what we know?
We, universally, as the human race, didn't really know what the idea of zero was until less than 1,500
years ago. I think these people have the complete... If you took a baby from there and raised it in our culture, they would be just like us.
No, I agree with that.
Well, I agree, but I don't necessarily think... How do I say this? I don't see anything wrong with them living their lives just as they are. I really don't. And I'm not saying that to say that... I don't necessarily agree with the whole we shouldn't interact with them. I can see the reasoning behind that if it's because of, you know, we might spread a disease to them that they're not, you know, or bring something to them like vermin or something that will destroy their ability to have food and things like that. But, you know, I mean, if you go into that culture and you talk to those kids about that, they're not going to care about our culture. I guess that's my thing is they're going to care about.
We don't know because we can't.
There's a lot of people that you go to different cultures and you say, look at all this cool stuff over here. And then they're like, yeah, we're fine where we're at. You know, I mean, no offense. Look at Israel.
Right.
You could go to Israel and probably tell all the people over there, anybody that doesn't want to live in constant danger of being bombed or, you know, whatever, that wants to come to the United States and live for free, or, you know, and have a good life and all this stuff. Are they going to do that? Most of them are going to be like, no, this is my home. I'm going to stay here.
From what I understand, they were actually offered that.
Yeah.
They were offered having making a nation in another place.
Well, I'm not saying take the kids. I'm not saying I like bringing these questions up because I like talking about it. I don't know the answer either. I mean, I'm not saying that we should or we shouldn't. I just like bringing it up and talking about it because this is fun. I mean, this is like, what do you do?
If the parents aren't willingly causing the children pain, torturing the children, I don't think it's right to take the children away from them. So I can say that with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
But then you're faced with the dilemma of like, not so much what the parents would do, but what you would do. It's not the parents' responsibility in that situation that the children are going to live in squalor Or some sort of like.
Maybe they don't live in squalor. I mean,
No. Like some pre-Bronze Age, you know.
That probably. Yes.
Situation. Yes. You know, it's not the parents' fault that it's going to be like.
Well,
that.
No.
It's actually, I'm not saying you, but it's your fault, us.
Or God's.
Well, I'm just screw him. Anyway, it's our fault.
Right.
If it's up to us to make the decision of whether we're going to try to improve that or not. Because we're the only ones that can.
Okay, back to the question. Who is these international powers that say we cannot interfere with these people? And there are. Every time I read about this, it's always brought up. United Nations.
It might actually be the city-state or the country that is in charge of the particular islands that in question.
Right.
It's almost always
stated international laws prohibit any interaction with these people.
I don't like
and so,
it. I know that.
And well, that's where we're coming from, the United Nations, a power, something to be able to step in and say something that a country is doing, like Uganda, is doing wrong. Well, who is that?
Well, that's what I kind of agree with. It's like, right. In a way...
We do need it. I agree.
I think maybe the way we need to handle it as an international body needs to be more like, hey, everybody who wants to leave Uganda now
can come.
We've got all these countries for you to choose from.
We have Texas. Would you like Texas?
Yeah,
or Alaska.
You know, Switzerland could open up their borders. You
I
know,
agree
all
with
these
that.
Countries could say, "Hey, come here."
Maybe not even an opening of borders, but just like we will allow you to be a refugee and build a new life in our country.
Yes, we
will give you citizenship, dual citizenship, whatever you want.
Right, we'll help you get along for a little while until you can get on. Yeah,
until you decide what you want to do.
Right.
We've offered that sort of thing to other people.
I think that's great.
I think that would be the right thing to do in that situation. What the wrong thing to do is to say, no,
you're not going
to
do
can't,
that.
You can't do
right.
Yeah, because I will agree with that because I think that's something that, you know, in our past, in the past of the United States and, you know, other countries too, is where we've struggled, where we come into a culture that's different than ours and we think your culture is wrong and we're right. And then because we're more powerful than you, we're going to impose our ideas on you and you have to do what we want you to do. And that's sometimes good and sometimes that's not so good. You know, you look at the Native Americans and how we pretty much trashed their entire culture, you know, and decimated,
But this is not an argument for our behavior in that situation.
Right. No, I'm not saying that.
I would say that our country, at least at some level, learned something from that situation.
Definitely,
and
definitely.
And I would like to say that I don't think that would happen now.
I can't say that with
great faith because there's still a lot of dumbasses and there's a lot of awful people out there. But I would say that as a majority, most people would consider that to be a failing and a mistake of the United States past. But I would definitely say we're not a country alone in that.
Oh,
regard.
No. I'm not. Yeah, I'm just using United States as an example because there's we're often looked at as the bad guys because the French were pissed because, they're trying to assimilate, they're trying to indoctrinate their youth with American culture and, and various other countries that they – and I'm like – and my thing is like, well, maybe they just like the stuff we got and they think, hey.
Yeah, that argument for me from any other country in Europe falls on deaf ears as far as I'm concerned because you guys were doing the same thing 300 years ago. So
right.
I don't care.
The Romans were doing it.
Yeah. All of those countries over there are responsible for the same sort of actions that they visited upon native peoples and land, faraway lands. I just don't know. That's a really awesome question. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's truly any answer.
The way I see the world, and just like what you were talking about with America, we wouldn't screw up like that again, surely.
I think we would do something like that. Yeah.
So at least in educated countries throughout the world, these genocides are beginning to stop. Now, genocides have always been. They've been going on for as far as recorded history and beyond. But I think they're less because they're becoming more educated countries.
Well, I think the greatest thing that stops those things from happening is the realization that you are me. We are the same.
You are a human being just like I am a human being. And that's becoming more and more for many different reasons.
It's
media, education, money, all sorts of stuff. And so I think this is getting better, but it's still bad.
I would agree with that. Right. Moving on.
Yes, moving on.
I've got a good question for you. Okay. A question that was posed to me. We all consider each other to be skeptics, if you will, or people who are curious about our surroundings.
Yeah, I was skeptical about coming tonight.
There you go. The reality around us. We're,
okay.
I think everybody at this table knows who Matt Dillahunty is.
Yes.
But, you know, if anybody who's listening to this doesn't know who Matt Dillahunty is, which Cole's doing something very weird.
Ghost story.
If you don't know who he is, he's one of the many people who speak on a weekly television show, cable access, however you want to say it, in Austin, Texas, called The Atheist Experience. If you haven't watched it, you should. It's far superior to this show, but only slightly.
And been going for like, what, 7 years?
Oh, yeah, like 10 years, yeah. Almost. I think they're like,
they haven't done a podcast in a while, and I'm getting really antsy. No, I'm like,
they
girl!
I will say that he says it in an interesting way. And he says, as he's an atheist, and, you know, I consider myself to be an agnostic or a weak atheist, I would still say the same thing and say, I am interested in what is true. That is what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in what could be true.
Right.
I'm interested in what is true. You know, going back to evolution, the theory of gravity, all these different things that there is actual tangible proof for. I like that. That is important to me, that I have some sort of proof for the things that I believe, that I actually think are true. And I think it's a poignant statement that he constantly makes on his show. Tied into that, somebody asked me recently, they said, how do you know it's bullshit? The question posed to you is, you seem to have a really good bullshit meter. Woo meter, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And you seem to really know, on the face of something, this is crap, this is not. This
right.
is something I should look into
right.
further. This
right.
is something that on the face of it, it's just not worth my time,
right.
et cetera. And I consider all of you and Marshall, who is in absence, that is something that I think, as free thinkers, that a lot of us feel a kindred spirit in.
Yes.
Is that we look at something and we say...
We can pretty well, pretty
no.
quick.
No,
yeah.
we're pretty quick.
Right.
No, there's times
sure,
where you're
yeah.
not
right,
you're not
right,
sure
right,
and you look
right,
into it further.
Right.
But
yeah.
I can pick something out. I can read a news article and go,
right,
no, there's something stinks.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Blink. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
Is that bullshit detector is
that's
like,
interesting.
No, I know. That's
but what do you all think it is? What is that?
Well, according to
thing?
Malcolm Gladwell, it's something that we
don't
know.
I'm not asking Malcolm Gladwell.
Well,
I'm
I know.
Asking Cole.
Well, I'm agreeing with him that
oh.
it's something that we truly don't know. It's sort of unconscious, but it's still at the same time. It's I don't know. It's interesting how he explains it, but I'm still not all the way through the book yet. But it's like part of our brain is taking care of us.
Right, like you process information faster
right.
than you realize
yes,
you're processing
yes,
it.
Yes,
and so you
yes,
can make those
yes,
snap judgments.
Yes.
And
right, exactly.
maybe not 100% all the time, but
right.
a lot of times you're correct on your assumptions.
And according to him,
of,
it's
yeah.
80 to 95% correct with our blink
right.
type of analyzing something.
I would
real
say
quick.
For me, it's you know, if I'm reading something, it's – I know this sounds – if it sounds too good to be true,
it probably is.
Is.
Right.
Like
right.
you know, you get those
right.
you get those emails from people like I've used this example plenty of times because the woo gets me more than the religious stuff, which
right.
is the whole I get the emails. If you eat asparagus, it'll cure your cancer, and I'm like, no, it won't. And I did some research into it because I was like, where did this come from? And yes, there's like certain types of asparagus that
yeah.
have a certain enzyme in it that yes, it is. Found to be effective in massive doses for certain types of cancers.
Right.
But the way that's presented is it's blanket. You know,
right.
you just eat a bunch
yeah.
of asparagus and you'll
and
cure
you
your cancer.
Nothing.
And it's like, no, it's not, you know? Or common sense, or it's just common sense. It's just knowing a little bit about the world and how things work, like homeopathy. You know, yeah, there's no instance that I have seen that a doctor has been like, I'm going to give you as little of an antibiotic as I can to cure whatever
mm-hmm.
it is you've got. They always give you a decent dose, you know, things like that, you know.
Homeopathy is sort of obvious I don't think it was as obvious 100 years ago.
Right.
But it is very obvious now that I don't think this really works. I can't remember right. the theory that it's built upon, but it's basically the theory that says, you know, something in a minuscule dose.
You'll build up a tolerance to it or something right. like that. Yeah, the idea of building up a tolerance to something.
Rasputin's daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
But
was you asking why we have this?
Yeah.
I mean, the why is part of it, but the why right. is the why is easy.
Yeah.
Because for me, well, no, the why for me is easy. I was always this way.
Well, me even too.
Me too. Right.
Even
to
as
agree.
A kid, I was always like,
and we probably
I wanna,
all were.
I want to go to the heart of the matter. I want to know why this is true, why it's not, why I should care about this, why it isn't. Why is something real and why is something false? I mean, I didn't.
I was the same way.
Yeah. I didn't believe in Santa Claus when I was a kid because I was like, you know, this doesn't sound right to me.
No,
you know, I believe. You know, and my thing is like, I believed in it up until like age of eight, but nobody told me he wasn't real. I just figured it out on my own. I was like, hey, you know, I don't think this guy is real. You know, he's a different guy every time I go see him every year. You know, it's like I kind of figured this out.
Well, but regardless, I think most kids, at least your generation, even younger, when you went to the mall. And you met Santa Claus, and you sat on his knee, you knew that wasn't Santa Claus.
Right.
Because there's four more on the way down the street.
You knew that was... That was just some guy being Santa Claus.
Right.
Well, my parents would always say, well, that's Santa's helper.
Right.
Yes.
That was just... That was just them trying to perpetuate the magic of childhood, which is fine. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I don't think we should eradicate
but, you know,
Santa Claus.
I never taught my children to ever believe in Santa, though.
I don't remember that my parents hid it from them. Right.
You know, I mean, we did pictures, we did stuff, but I never told them this was Santa Claus.
You know,
this guy brought you presents.
Yeah, I think my parents did a little bit, but it was more passive, though. It was just more of a, that's Santa Claus, you know, and it was more of a, I kind of felt like it was more of a game for them, too, you know, that they got a kick out of it, too, just, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's fun.
Yeah.
I think that's nice. But I also think in contrast, one of the interesting things about teaching your children about that is think about all the true things about Christmas or that time of the year that you could tell your children and you could teach your children about that they don't ever have to get rid of, that they don't ever have to stop believing in. That family and time with your family and your friends and enjoying those times that you have together and giving gifts and receiving gifts and having this time of good cheer, that stuff's all true.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That stuff I think you can teach a kid, and they don't ever have to get rid of it.
Right.
They don't ever have to someday say, well, Santa Claus doesn't exist, but all this stuff that I learned around Santa Claus is good.
Right.
I agree. It's a secular way of looking at it. I mean, it's more
I
of
know,
a...
I don't even want to say it's a secular.
No,
well,
I
mean,
I agree.
But
I
Christmas
think
is around
secular.
Jesus. I mean...
For some people, not really.
A lot of
but not
in America.
Not
in America.
It was created around a bunch of different
religions. I know that. But in America, we all know that it's mostly Christian.
It's Jesus' birthday.
It is.
And no, it's not. It's my birthday.
That's true. That's true.
It is
your
birthday, everyone. It is.
No, seriously. No, I. It did take me a long time to figure out that Christmas was not all about my birthday. Seriously.
Well, that's cool.
For a long time. You know, well, I won't say for a long time. Until I was about 5 or 6 is when I kind of figured out, oh, this isn't just for me.
What a disappointment.
Yeah, well, you know. Everybody's giving gifts to each other in my honor.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think there's lots of good stuff in lots of our holidays that teach lessons to people, you know, to give to the poor, to help people out that during a period of time, invite people over,
I mean,
give gifts, be happy, eat.
Yeah. Any holiday that encourages people to be nice to each other,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Behind.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
Totally
I'm
awesome.
Behind.
Me
I don't
too.
Care what it's about.
Sure, sure.
It, you know,
yep.
and...
I think we ought to have Unicorn Day. That'd be a good one.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
It could be Penis Day. I'm fine with
well,
it.
Well, I might skip that one.
Boobquake Day, you know.
Boobquake?
Yeah, that all comes
It doesn't matter what it is, but if it encourages people to be good to each other, I'm all for it.
Definitely.
But I don't know. It was a curious question. I mean, my answer was similar to your all's. I was basically like, you know, it's just the culmination of information and things that I've learned throughout my life.
Right.
And what I do is I know these things I can count on. I know that these things are probably true.
Right.
Until something comes up to make me reevaluate
exactly.
them.
Right. Right.
And when I get some piece of information that is in complete contrast to all of this body of information that I know, I weigh it against that.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes up wanting, I don't discard it. I look into it further. That's my typical reaction. Right. But then there's this stuff that's so outlandish that you're like, you know what? No, that's bullshit.
Right.
Well,
because it didn't
pass
the test.
What makes us different from those who will buy that stuff hook, line, and sinker? Because it's not just like, you know, because everybody wants to say, oh, believers are delusional and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's not just believers. There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there that don't believe in God that are believing in all these outlandish bullshit stories that you're like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I just wonder what makes some people have that bullshit detector, and that it is so fairly well fine-tuned, and where other people are like all over the place, you know, that you've got the people that will buy anything that you tell them as long as you come from a spot of authority, which maybe that's just – that could be a product of evolution, that you follow the person of authority because you'll survive more readily or something. I don't know.
I agree with that. Because I watched James Randi in a short interview. I think it was the one that I sent to you.
Oh, yeah, I watched that,
Where he was talking about, and it might have been a different interview, actually, because I watched several different ones. Like, around that one, I was like, oh, I'm on a James Randi roll right now. I'm going to watch several interviews with him, because I just love the guy.
Yeah.
And he talked about Jesus and all the reasons why he doesn't believe in it.
Right.
And it isn't because he hates religion, or he hates the idea of Jesus, or the things that he taught, or anything like that. He said, like, all the reasons why anybody would believe in something like this aren't supported by anything.
Right.
So there's no reason for me to believe in it. There's no truthhood here. There's no
checks and balances. There's no supporting evidence to say, yes, this has all happened. Yeah.
Right. There's nothing for me to grab onto and say, this is a piece of history.
Yes.
It's all fantastic. It all sounds like. And to somebody like James Randi, a magician, reading such things about somebody in antiquity would instantly set off all of his alarm bells and make him go, what? No. Of course not. I've seen people do these tricks on stage in front of me. This is not, you know, this is not real. And I thought that was interesting because it was like the same thing that came for me. Like the only reason I ever believed in these things in my life is because people who were important to me said, you're supposed to believe that this stuff's true.
That's true.
Yep.
And you believed it at that time.
Even though I was in my head going, man, you know, this just does not...
You know,
sound right.
I just
kept my mouth shut. I was just like, you know, I was like, okay, the stories are nice, but I really don't believe any of this stuff is real. And I just kept my mouth shut because I figured.
Here's an interesting story from the book Blink. In the very first chapter, talk about a museum that bought a statue, and three or four people that were skilled in different areas of ancient statues, in their mind, separately, agreed this was a fake. And they bought it anyway and tried to prove it was correct. And they all talked about this like 2 years later, knowing from first sight, like we're talking about here right now, that that's bullshit. Why would people do that? That's got nothing to do with religion or anything else. They wanted it to be true. They wanted that statue to be what they wanted it to be.
Yeah, I could also see ulterior motives to that, though, as well.
Yeah.
Like if they bought that statue, it might be a very good... draw for their history, for their history museum, and people might come and want to see it.
Right.
And so there's
an
incentive there for them to act fraudulently.
Right.
Even if, like, acting in a fraudulent manner was somewhat, unconscious to them.
Well, you hit it, because it was a new museum, it was a new backer, and it was a new curator, and it was a new, I'm not sure what they call the people that actually go and investigate the statues to make sure that they're correct.
Art historians
but anyway,
or gallery,
right.
you know,
but
gallery
they all
managers.
Were new. And they all wanted it to be true.
It happens to established ones too, because I believe it was a few years ago that I want to say it was the Kemper thought they bought a bunch of Georgia O'Keeffe paintings and they all turned out to be fakes.
And they knew beforehand?
No, they didn't know beforehand.
Okay, these
but
people
still,
in their
I
mind
mean,
individually told the story later and
oh,
said,
and so
yes,
they thought it was fake.
We looked at it and our first impression was it's a fake. Nothing fits. For that time period. But they wanted it to be so that they all agreed separately. And millions of dollars was put into this. to turn out to be nothing. But you know what? All these people went on to be great people, and the museum went on to be a great museum. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say how many pieces of art and antiquity and everything else had they bought that were legitimate?
Exactly.
And pieces.
After that, yes.
Right. But I'm saying this even before that, buys. It wasn't, yeah.
No, this was like one of their first. This
but
was,
it wasn't the only one they bought, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it wasn't the only piece they bought. And just because it was a new gallery doesn't mean that everybody there was necessarily new to buying art either. They were just new to that museum. So, I mean,
but
it's not like
the curator. But
there
was people that was already established outside of this that were saying, you know, this is bullshit. That's not real. This is a fake.
I'm not surprised.
And so it still went on.
That stuff happens all the time. Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, I could see somebody.
That's not religious, and like what you were talking about, that's not religious. And so that's our mind. That's how it's easy.
Yeah, but going back to the religious thing, my favorite example is always the stories about George Washington.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Which, you know, I believed when I was a kid.
Chopping the cherry
tree. Yeah,
chopped
down the cherry
tree. Stories were true because they were in history books and stuff.
They're not true.
Oh. They're not.
Oh, damn. I thought he really did that.
I wish they were. Oh, okay. It's a good story.
Actually, it was a blueberry bush.
Actually, you know, but really the way that story went, the way that story went is George Washington said, "I cannot tell a lie" to his father, and his father said, "You'll never be president, kid."
Yeah exactly.
Hey,
that's never going to happen.
But it's always, and I always use, and you know, and that's always a good example to use for people who are like, "Oh, but the Bible's all true." And I'm like, come on, we don't even have, you know, we can't even agree on what some actor did 40 years ago. Like, we have myths about their lives. I'm like, how can you ever be true that anything that you hear about for anybody who's especially more than like 200 years in the past is even going to be accurate? You know, it's like.
And really, at this point, I mean, when you get to this point of what George Washington thought, what Hamilton thought, what Jefferson thought. Does it really matter right now? I mean, shouldn't we be moving on?
Well, I think
to other truths.
My favorite thing is the historical critical view of what's going on there, which is like, you know, Bob Price talks about who we've had on this show
and going to have on the show again pretty soon.
Yes, thank goodness. Love the guy. Great. And what I like is going, you know, like if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you say, well, I don't really believe in Jesus. Like, I don't really believe he was a real historical figure. It's possible he didn't even exist at all. Like, the whole idea was fabricated over time.
Sure.
If you said that to some people, they would be like, how can you say that? There's so much proof for the existence of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? You know, you don't, you believe in Socrates, don't you?
Well, Plato believed in him.
Right, but I'm saying you believe in Socrates, right?
Okay. Yeah,
you believe he existed.
Well, because
I don't mean
did.
Believe like, you know, you put your faith in Socrates.
Right.
I mean,
well, as far as we know, Socrates.
He believed in Socrates.
But he never wrote anything either.
Right. Well, he did write things. They were destroyed, though, supposedly.
Right.
But,
well, and
but
Jesus
point,
could have written
but,
things,
but
too.
But the point here is, yes, I do. But Socrates never made any fantastic claims about the miracles.
No,
that
he didn't say he was a god or nothing else.
He didn't say he was the son of God.
Right,
he didn't.
Right,
he didn't
say
he died and rose again.
So that I can get my mind around.
I think maybe Socrates existed, but that's only because the things that he said and the legends and everything surrounding Socrates are at least believable to some point.
Sure.
Well, aren't there several sources writing about Socrates?
Right, if you want to get down to brass tacks, you can say there are several sources about Jesus as
But they were also written way after he died, so that's my thing.
And you can say they're related to earlier documents, because the documents we have about Socrates and Plato are from later
related
on as well.
Yes, this is true.
But Jesus is supernatural, and Socrates,
Socrates
is not.
Yes, Socrates is not. Socrates
so
is never
that's it more in
to
the
be.
Real world,
yeah.
And so we believe that more so.
Because he doesn't make any fantastical claims.
No,
true.
No.
I can much more easily believe in Confucius than I can believe in Jesus, because Confucius doesn't...
Right. Hey, if Jesus
and he may
had
not,
not
have existed either, but you know,
and
if
it's
he,
very
he, yeah, it's very possible he wasn't a real person.
None of them may have existed.
Right.
And if
exactly.
Jesus left letters and didn't proclaim all these supernatural things, we might be talking about him going, hey, he's a cool guy.
But if he did, we wouldn't believe in Jesus.
That's right.
We would know he's real.
We would know he
we
was
would
real.
We would know he was
and
real.
And we would
God.
Also know he was not God.
Right.
Yes.
But he was not God. So it doesn't matter. Are you closing?
I'm closing the computer.
Okay.
I think we're done.
I think we're done. This was fun.
This has been the Agnostic Salvation Era without Marshall.
Yes.
His presence has been sorely missed.
Yes.
Cole and I drank a lot of whiskey and drank none.
Right.
But we
she
had a
tolerated.
Great... Yeah, she tolerated us.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Yeah,
I think I can hold my own against you guys.
We'll talk to you next time.
Yep. Sure. This is Cole saying goodbye.
Can't present. This is Howard. Goodbye.
Bye.